Hi, this is Elliot Sommerfeld, and I am the creative lead of Wired Cowslip Podcasts. Before we begin the story, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the first chapter of our medieval dark fantasy audio drama, The False Knight. It would mean the world to myself, my team, and fellow podcast listeners out there if you leave a rating and review on whichever podchaser you're listening on, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whichever one you're listening to. It really helps everyone involved and keeps stories like this one alive. The False Knight is a 6-chapter story, with each chapter being released every Monday at 4 p.m. GMT. After chapter the 3rd, there will be a 1-week intermission from the 21st of November, resuming with chapter the 4th on the 28th of the same month. And without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy the magic, monsters, and myths of The False Knight.
Another visitor, is it? Come, sit by the fire. Keep your warmth, friend. A cold day, is it not? You have come to hear me tell a tale, nay? Then let me tell thee a tale. Not of the brave or of the bold. This is a tale of knife and forked tongues, creatures of myth and of old, whispers and wisps in silent lungs, and of the thief who found her gold.
False Knight. Chapter the 1st. A body. And beginning.
Do you know the land as I knew it? I doubt it. It is not one to remember well. There were no towns like there are now. It was plagued by the great forests. Trees did shoot up from the ground as quick as the arrows of an army. Roots that dug deep, deeper than mine's and the mother's will, carrying ancestry, carrying memory. Animals and beasts of the land thought to steer clear of the great forests and what lay inside them. They had learned. But men? Men? Hardly. The mother's home had shrunk by sharp axes and the burning cleavers to fuel the fires and build the beds. None had encountered what lay inside those forests in many years. Had they hidden, afraid of the strange creatures from outside the forest, coming with weapons and malice, tearing down their green mossed home? None knew. But some, aye, some didst. The king cared not for things that lurked yonder in the great forests. His eye was drawn to those that followed most foul practices. Witchcraft, alchemy, sortilege, malediction. His prophets preened to anything that would smite those that followed the devilry in divination. And still, rival kings and rival ways sought to usurp the coronet, and all the land fell to the intermittent darkling of battle. And the mother's home shrunk all the more as the affairs of men raged and raged the land. Perceive this urchin, still young, wide-eyed yet narrowed in deceptions. Aye, this wretch, this thief. She shall serve mine own purpose well. Not twice 11 winters she had run from all manner of men. Father, brother, uncle. None sought her betterment. The thief had all to do for herself. It is a hard thing to live high lone in a land that seeks unity through blood. But fortune oft favours those that act boldly. Perceive her moving out of the forest, out into a cropped field on the borders, and perceive the small holding before her. A sharecropper's estate, aye. Perceive the shire horses, next bowed, future fodder for the king's armies, bred to be ridden into the maelstrom. Her eyes caught that of a bay stallion. Hazel fur, dark eyes, a mane of black night. The thief knew the risks of such a haughty action less than the consequences, aye. Her gaunt fingers wrapped themselves around her blade handle. A quick sprint, a cut of the rope tying the beast to earth, and she would ride to the next village, a quaint penny awaiting. But if she were to be caught, she'd be hanging from a branch till the carrion had pecked all the mortal remains of her bones. There was not a hair of anyone about, and I... This bandit was a quick runner.
Run, girl, run!
She reaches the bay horse. He doesn't stir for her. His thoughts are to the grass. The mother did provide for her creatures all.
Easy. Easy, boy.
All right, boys and girls, time to get ye water.
The sharecropper of this patch, letting his herd drink his blood. He is their Christ for all they knew. But, unlike Christ, he would send them to the slaughter no sooner than the next autumn.
There you are, girl. Drink it up.
He could not see the thief lead the bay horse away. But alas, all it would take...
What's that now? Boy! Little poacher! Come back here, you!
Come on!
I'll have you hung by your ankles and bled from your wrists! I'll have you flayed! I'll bring a king's justice against you, Farrell! Get back here!
It is easy to be lost in the great forest. There are no easy marks, landmarks, like back in the city of the king. I follow the clouds most of the time. They're above the forest. Why should they be influenced by it, by the mother of all nature? The white masses high above are mastered by another. Equal to her. You rarely have failed me, anyway. Sometimes when I am most high lone, I lie in the outcrops, next to the patterns of hedgerow upon hedgerow, and attach the shapes of meaning to them. The head of a horse, a white dagger in the blue, a long snake. My mother told me once that Clouds often pretended to some future or possibility of a future. I never really believed her. No, she never really believed me either. I make sure that I don't stray too far into the great forests. The king's men always warned us when we were put to work in the fields to never set foot in the thickets, lest we were to be part of the mother, or unless we had an axe at the ready. The mother doesn't take kindly to those that meddle in her subtle affairs. I admit that I take many things, but I never take what is hers. I'm heading for the coast, I tell myself. None would find me there. I'd never seen the waters of the roaring sea before, but my mother told me stories of it. Like thousands of crystals breaking over each other on a golden shore. Ah, I want to see that. I think it would be beautiful. The planes will lead me there, I hope. I stop when I see the corpses. Not 20 yards or so yonder across the field, half buried in the mud. Not just men, but horses, too. Even a dog half the size of a horse. The end of a skirmish, it seemed. Men wearing the banners of the king. A broken flagpole with the blackened colours of the royal emblem. And other men wearing the colours of some kingdom far away. The claimants of the crown. The crows haven't come for them yet. It must have been recent. Can't be too careful. I look for coin, although my hopes aren't high. Rings are more valuable, but these men were merely farmers and simpletons putting one foot in front of the other to the march of a drum. Then I see the body. Resting on a hornbeam back to bark in the arse to earth, covered in plating chainmail, blood and arrows. The helmed head bows on the breastplate almost as if in vague respect to her. By his side, clasped in metal hands, a sword doused in red. The knight, wearing the colours of the king, was dead. And what use would this armour be to a corpse? Smiths or merchants would pay their right arm for this. I take the armour, piece by piece, breastplate first, gauntlets, pauldrons, the greaves and creases. I leave the helm for last, not daring to raise the visor. The knight was young, nearly handsome, I'd say, if there was such a thing. I wondered where he might have been from. The king's city, one of the hamlets of the rolling mountains that bled into the coast, or a boy from the plains, looking to impress a lady for her hand. It matters not one minuscule bit. He is dead, and I am not. Which one of us would benefit more from the armor? He'd just be food for worms, As will I when that time comes. I leave the sight of bloodshed, and I don't look back. There's a crossroads up ahead in the Moorland Road. The weather is holding for now. Grey sky bids rain to fly. But there is also someone there, sitting by the roadside.
Greetings, friend.
The woman is some weary and weary traveller on the road, bag slung over shoulder, provisions to last for an encampment. She looks almost to be my mother, or a mother. I knew not her story, but we both shared that disadvantage over each other.
The same to you.
Heading for the King City? Because you're going the wrong way.
I'm not travelling to the King City.
Oh, beg your pardon, friend. Thought from your stallion is all.
No pardon needed.
Ah, thank you. How can I help?
Just wondering if you can point me in the right direction.
Oh, my pleasure, friend. Where are you heading now? Hopefully not the mountains. There's been some rumblings up there, apparently.
The coastways, if you know them.
Oh, aye, friend. I do know them indeed. My home's inland from it, although I'm heading toward the King's City. Trade is my trade, if you catch my meaning. Now let me see the best way.
The traveller looked left to right, north to south, or east to west. Her eye slid over to mine.
You'd best head for the southern road that-a-way.
She pointed down to my starboard, a road that cut across the moorland and led into an ocean. Not blue, but emerald. That's a road to the forests.
Oh, aye, friend, I do know that. But it's the quickest way, and looks as if you're in quite the hurry. You heading home?
If you like.
I'd love to live by the sea. Hearing the waves every day, music to the ears, if you ask me.
I don't like the look of that road, though.
Ah, it is the quickest way that I know of, and this here road is like the back of my hand. Take it or leave it, friend.
The forests were not my preferred route, but what little choice did I have? Besides, the trees would provide good cover from the elements. Then I shall take it. Thank you.
Here, wait a moment, friend. That armour.
What about it?
Well, bit odd, that's all. What's a young lass like you doing with it? You're no knight, let alone a squire.
Quick thinking had its benefits, and when one is presented with an idea, one takes it.
Oh, I've been told that I look like a girl. Sometimes my thin face has that effect. But I'm a boy, a squire. My master's dead. I'm travelling to the coast to see his armour buried to the sea, per his wishes.
Oh, one of the fishing lords, was he?
He was called by his king.
Well, you ain't wearing the colours of the king, boy.
What business is it of yours what I wear?
Oh, none. None at all, friend. Just making conversation, is all. Oh, aye. The road is tough and long. Lonely, most of all. Ere since the king's been making battle here and there, I hardly find anyone on the road but bandits and scavengers. And it's best to be sure, times being what they are. But I see as you're a good one. 1,000 pardons, lad. 1,000 pardons. If you want to pass like a boy, cut your hair a tat, eh?
Good advice.
Glad you caught me. Safe travels now.
Likewise.
Bet you a good price for that armor, you hear? It's rare you find stuff like that.
I will. Thank you.
12 months and a day, being up, the dead began to speak. Oh, horse, it's weeping on my grave, and I'm not happy to sleep.
It's all right. It's all right. It wasn't the first time I travelled through one of the great forests. Doubt it would be the last. But this was the first time that I would actually be going in. Normally, whenever I was needed to go into one of them, I skirted their borders, never delving into that overgrowth of ivy and oak. There were always tales from the city, from my mother in particular, about the dangers of the great forests. It was common knowledge, really. "Don't go yonder into that green," my mother would say. "There's pixies and the fae of old bound to lead you away, away, away. Disappear." I found the stories funny, but all they were, amusing little fables for bedtime. I'd been walking for an hour through it and heard nothing that had come from any beast or bird. Just the sounds of a woodland. No wild thing in sight. It was a magpie, a few steps ahead of me along the path. Eyes blackened as pits, staring right at me. Out of the way. Out of the way. Go on. Out of the way. Go on. Let's go. The forest floor had begun to rise. And so had the rain. Dragging the horse up the hill over rocky inclines, I prayed to the mother for a shelter of any kind, a hedgerow, a shrub, a cave. Like a nostril in the face of the hill, cover from the coming rain and prying eyes, it would be a fine hovel for the night. Fire was my chief desire for the night. Winter had yet to claim this land, but the nights were already drawing cold and dark quicker across. Come on! On, damn you! The cave was hardly comforting, but I was not one to complain. My horse companion remained standing by, staring out at the mouth of the cave, almost as if waiting for the sharecropper to come and drag it back to the field. I wondered if it wanted to go back or not, or if it beheld the desires that we of mind and soul bear from day to day. It was time to sleep. The returning day would be one of riding fast. Resting my head on the breast of the armor, I slept into that nightless and nightless country.
Thank you.
field.
What?
Hand of a sin.
Who is that? What is... I...
Hand of the devil himself. Taking. Took.
What are you? I don't... Am I...
From the armor wrapped around my throat, tighter than any grip I'd known, tighter than my father and mother's. It lay on the other side of the cave, empty and unmoving. The rest of the armor lay by my side as I had left it the night before. But standing on top of it, head cocked almost comically at me,
How can you attach meaning, explanation to such oddities? No birds in the forest but for one single magpie seeming to stalk our heroine. The voice of the dead in that hellish nightmare. Mine own blood chills to think of them. Yet, here you are, for a tale. And a tale I shall tell. Keep your warmth by the fire, friend. You shall need it.